We're in Shmuel Aleph. We're starting the seventh parak on page 44. The previous parak, which we were learning, including last week, discussed how the Aron was taken by the Plishtim, and the Plishtim had tremendous tsar because of it. They ended up bringing it back to the Bnei Yisrael. The Bnei Yisrael ended up seeing it for the very first time while they were harvesting their various crops in Beit Shemesh. And unfortunately, as the parak concluded, the people were punished in Beit Shemesh because they did not act appropriately when seeing it. Kalas Rosh, according to one explanation, possibly they looked in the Aron itself, they looked inside of it. Other explanation, which we touched upon in the Radak, was that they didn't stop their work. They were kotzer mishtachvin, which means not that they didn't bow down and show the respect, but they couldn't stop from what they were doing. They were busy multitasking, which shows a lack of respect. And we touched upon last week how sometimes, unfortunately, we do the same thing, especially when we bench. After we finish, while we're in the process of benching, we're moving this, cleaning this plate, and throwing. We're doing everything except for focusing on what we're supposed to be doing. So that's unfortunately was the message they learned the hard way, and hopefully we'll learn not the hard way. So let's begin Perek Zayin. So now, because the Aron caused much destruction, many people that died, it's questionable exactly how many died, as possible as many as 52,000, because of 75,000 rather, because of that, it was necessary for the Aron no longer to be in the hands of a typical Klal Yisrael. And they had to figure out where to put it. So Pasuk says like this, Pasuk Aleph, V'yavohu anshi kiryas ya'orim v'yalu es Aron Hashem. So the people from Kiryas Ya'orim, and we have a little map over here showing us where Kiryat Ya'orim is, which is a little bit east of Beit Shemesh.
That's northeast. Telstone.
What?
It's Telstone, is the name of Kiryat
Ya'orim
today.
Oh, okay, very good. So we'll see what was done in Kiryat Ya'orim. So the people there went, V'yalu es Aron Hashem. So they took up the Aron from where it was, which was in Beit Shemesh, was on situated on a rock. They took the wagon, they chopped up the wagon and used it as firewood, the animals, they used carbonos. V'yalu es Aron Hashem, V'yavio also el Beis Avinadav Begiva. So this Aron was brought to the house of Avinadav in Giba. That's Elazar Beno, as well Elazar his son, Kichu. So they took it. He was in Giba. Yeah.
He was in Giba. Giba is not Kiryas Ya'arim.
True. Right. It's even more, even further east than Kiryas Ya'arim. That's true. That's right. So that's who took the Aron, and they were Kichu. They sanctified, made it holy. The Mesudas Sion translates Kidshu as his minu, that they prepared for it. They took good care of it. Kamo kotshuleh ha-melchama. So they prepared for its coming. So this is what happened to the Aron. We look in the
Elazar is who?
Elazar is just the son of Avinadav. So those two are the people that took care of the Aron.
Kahanim or.
Doesn't really specify exactly who they were. It's not very clear who they were. Maybe they were Levim, but it doesn't say if they were Kohanim or Levim. But nonetheless, this is where the Aron was stationed. Now, in reality, we already learned that Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed. So Shiloh obviously doesn't exist. Eli died. His children Hophni and Pinchas died during the battle. So the Mishkan was brought to a place called Nov Ir HaKohanim, which we're ultimately going to see that Kohanim, all the Kohanim, all 85 of them are going to be butchered by the command of Shaul. Right? And anyway, so in the meantime, the Mishkan is now in Nov, but the Aron, for whatever reason, they didn't want to put it in Nov, which we'll discuss why that's the case. Look in Radak over here. The Radak says, Lishmor es Aron Hashem, Lishmor habayis shahayibo Aron shiyeh b'tahara, to make sure that the place in which the Aron was station was in Tahara, to properly show the respect and to bow down and to show the proper kavod that the Aron is due. So this is how they treated the Aron as opposed to the way that we mistreated the Aron. And it's interesting, lashon of kidshu. Kidshu is to be mekadesh something. Hekdesh is us, is like we say by kedushin, that we're separating this woman from the rest of everyone else. And the lashon that is that she's asur kulyalma kehekdesh, that she is considered like hekdesh, and that it's separate, that you designate this and you separate everything else. And that's what being mekadesh in this situation is, that you look at the Aron and you only focus on it and nothing else. You don't multitask as they did in the field, but rather they took care of the Aron and only the Aron. They didn't do anything else. So that's, they set aside the Kedusha in their Avoda specifically for taking care of the Aron. Let's continue with Pasuk Bet. So the next Pasuk says, Vayhi miyom shevis Aron b'kiryas ha'arim. So it was from the day that it was, the Aron was in Kiryas ha'arim, which is, again, it sounds like the way that you pointed out, Giva is not the same place as Kiryas ha'arim, but that's where they ended up putting the Aron, in Kiryas ha'arim, even though the son of Abinadav was in Giva, but nonetheless they still went to Kiryas ha'arim to put the Aron. That's where it was. How long was it there? So the pasuk starts off saying it was a long time, many days. The Yehu Esrim Shun, that is a long time. It was there for 20 years. But you know who called Beis Yisrael Achrei Hashem, and all the Bnei Yisrael were drawn after Hashem, which means they started doing the proper thing. We were no longer off the derech. We were following Avodas Hashem. So it's fascinating that it was there for such a long time, for 20 years. In fact, it's going to be there all the way until Shmuel Bet. And Shmuel Bet, we're going to see, after David becomes Melech, and Melech for all of Klai Yisrael, which he originally had a problem because Shaul's son took some of the position after he was no longer in the picture. David was the king. He ended up wanting to bring the Aron to Yerushalayim, and he did. Ultimately, the same problem, people are going to end up dying, specifically by the name of Uzzah. So that's also found in the Haftarah Parsha Shemini.
But the Mishkan had, before it came to Yerushalayim, was no one given.
Right. It was still, the Mishkan was there, but the Aron was not, which is interesting. Why they decided not to put the Aron where? Together with the Mishkan?
That's your question. Where?
At this time, it was no longer in Shiloh, now it's in Nov.
The Mishkan was in Nov, or the Aron was in Nov?
The Mishkan.
The Mishkan was, yeah.
And the Aron was in this guy's house.
The Mishkan was in Nov, and then Givon. And
then the Beis Mikdash.
You went to
Yerushalayim. Yeah. Right. So, but again, the question.
And it went to somebody's house.
So what?
The Aron.
The Aron is going
to
be right.
Somebody's house. It'll
be, yeah, it's not going to be a permanent structure,
the
even Yerushalayim.
Transfer
point. Right. David at that time was anticipating that he'd be the one building the base of Mikdash, so he didn't think it would be as long, but it ended up being his son, as we'll see. Anyway, so, but again, the Aron and the Mishkan were separated, which the question is why. We'll get to that in a second. Let's look at Rashi, Pasuk Bet, page 44, the first line. Miyom Shevas Aron B'kiras Yorim V'ro HaPranio Shebo Lehem B'Avon Beis Eli. Everyone saw the problems that happened in Shiloh, namely that we got into a fight with the Plishtim, we lost, the Aron was taken from us. Fortunately, we got it back. V'asagvur Sh'asa Kodesh Baruch Hu B'Plishtim. They saw the great things that Kodesh Baruch Hu did against the Plishtim, and the fact that Hashem punished the Plishtim. We didn't win any war against the Plishtim. We will in this parak or the end. But at this point, Hashem plagued them to the point that they felt obligated to give us the Aron back, which they did in last parak. Rashi continues, V'inohu Achrei Hashem. So they went after Hashem, Aydei Shmuel. Shoya Maser Me'ir Le'ir, V'shofta Mochichom. So the greatness of Shmuel, which we'll really see this, the beginning of the parak, which we'll touch upon more at the end of the parak, that Shmuel didn't just stay in one place. He was a traveling salesman. He went from city to city to spread the word, if you will. So he went throughout to act as a shofet and to mochicha, to give tochacha, to rebuke Klal Yisrael. So that's what he did, and he was extremely effective in that. We'll see if his children follow suit. But in the meantime, that's how Rashi interprets it. So the reason why we ended up, who maybe were off the derech a little bit, now that we're on the right path, is only due to the schus of Shmuel. We look in the Radak. The Radak over here says, Yesh b'farshim loshino klomer bachu v'chazu v'tshuva shleim. It means that they were crying and they did a complete tshuva shleim. Kiro davar ha'aron v'kedusha so. They saw what the Aaron is capable of, but we don't respect it properly, or if we're not on the Madrega to be in its presence. So this was an os that Hashem is Elohim. And because of this, says the Radak, so they started having charata, they rebuked, they felt regretful that they worshipped Avodah Zarah, which we're going to still see, interestingly enough, even though it sounds like they did tshuva in the next couple of psukim, we're going to say that they still held on to some of their Avodah Zarah. Shmuel is going to be instrumental in trying to get them to stop. So one of the pshatim that's brought down, I talked about in different times, of why the Aron and the Mishkan are in different places, brought down in the Mishpat Zohar, it's one line, it's Kedadi here. Begam kivan shiyadu, people should know, shigam benov, where the Mishkan was, lo hayamakam hakavul Mishkan. No one should think that that is where it's at. That's the permanent structure of what will continuously be. Uvikarev yivnu as beis hamikdash bemakam hanivchar. They felt that if the Mishkan, if the Aron was in the place of the Mishkan, then you say, what's the difference? What's the point of having a Beis HaMikdash? It's the same thing. And people would say, that's good enough. They're not going to long for the Beis HaMikdash. They're not going to need the Beis HaMikdash. So the Indian, according to this pshat, is that it shows it's not a permanent structure. It's more temporary, and that's not something which is the most significant. So therefore, the Indian of the Aron being separated from the Mishkan is to show this idea that this is not permanent. This is not permanent. And this is actually one of the things that I brought this down, which connected, is Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, it's interesting, there's five things that were lacking in the second Beis HaMikdash. And one of them is they didn't have the Aron, didn't have the Urim Batumim, all these different things. The question is, what's Pshat? Why didn't they have these basic things? So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky explains that really there was the whole Indian of the second Beis HaMikdash was only temporary. We needed to have the second Beis HaMikdash because Golos was so long that if we would have gone from the first Beis HaMikdash to right now, it would have been too long. We would have just completely been, it's not shy for us to be able to hold on that long. And he explains the whole purpose of the second Beis HaMikdash was a way to kind of bridge that gap. And I explained that's how he also explains by Moshe. One of the more difficult questions is that he turns to Paro and says, let him go on 3 days, 3 day vacation. So all the Mefarshim say, was he joking? Was he lying to Paro? Is really 3 days? What's the point of that? So the answer is that he gives is, yeah, Taka, they're only going to go away for 3 days. Why? Because when Moshe went to the Bnei Israel, they said, it's not time. It's not time. It's supposed to be 400 years. 430. It's only been 210. It's not time. And the idea of those 3 days was because we were so far off the derech that if we waited any longer, we would have never been redeemed. Right, so the 3 days would have been an opportunity for us to elevate ourselves again, to be able to go back to Mitzrayim as slaves to finish up the rest of the time. But then, since Paro wasn't even masking to that, that's why we had to end up leaving totally. That's how he explains that it was also a 3 day thing. That was also like a temporary geula that was supposed to happen, similar to this temporary Mishkan and temporary second Beis HaMikdash. Let's move on to Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel tells us. So this, now we know where this the Aron is. Vayomer Shmuel El Kol Beis Yisraelim, or so he's speaking to all Klai Yisrael. He says, "Im b'chol levavchem atem shavim el Hashem." If you do a complete tshuva, as the Radak said, a tshuva shleima, b'chol levavchem, with your entire heart, you do tshuva. Hasiru es Elohei hanechar mitoychem. You have to remove these idols. V'ashtaros, ashtaros, he doesn't translate, which is also apparently some type of an idol, which we'll talk about in a second. V'achinu levavchem el Hashem, so you should dedicate your heart and set it toward Hashem. V'ivduhu levado, and only serve Him. V'yatzel eschem yad plishtim, and Hashem will save you from the plishtim. So the question is, what exactly is the ashtaros? So, whether you like this shot or not, but on Wikipedia.org or .com, Ashtaros, which is also really found on the second page, you'll see Ashtaros is different wording. But Ashtaros is a she god, lowercase g, especially worshipped in her aspect of a war goddess, often paired, okay, with the goddess, and I cut that off for some reason, I don't know. But anyway, some explain that this Ashtaroth was a special idol in which they thought was a way to protect them against their enemies, to be able to, if they would fight anyone.
To the word Asherah.
That's what it sounds like, yeah, Asherah.
Like Asherah is a tree.
A tree, yeah.
They always had, there was a dual God, and God had to have a confidant. So whenever there was a Mizbeach, there was always an Asherah next to the Mizbeach.
Right.
For them. They
right.
always had this tool.
Right.
This tool.
Right. Kind of hedging their bets. But it's interesting. It said even though they did shuva, they still had to, they
the
still held.
Always had, they have a dome. That's really,
right.
They have a minaret. That minaret represents the Asherah.
Right. So.
Or it could be.
This idea. Yeah. So that's. Ashtaroth could be some type of a tree, I mean, the way he explains it, some type of a, it could be a statue, or it's possible. It's certainly some type of an avodah zarah, and the way that's explained over here, it has something to do with to help you in war. So, which that pshat would make sense by reading this pasuk. He says that you should get rid of the Ashtaroth. And this is V'yatzel Eschem Yad Plishtim. Just serve Hashem. V'ivdu Levado. V'yatzel Eschem Yad Plishtim. You don't have to worry that you need this Avodah Zarah to protect you. This Avodah Zarah is garnished. There's no value, and you can just get rid of it. Hashem is the one who's going to protect you and save you from the Plishtim. So that's one shot. Some people explain that if it's true that they did a Tshuva Shleim already, so then what's pshat that they get rid of the Avodah Zarah? So it says they already got rid of the Avodah Zarah. But it says it has to be B'chol Levavchem. Now when it says B'hachinu Levavchem, which means even though they got rid of the Avodah Zarah physically, maybe they still believed in it. They still had some Emunah in this Avodah Zarah. And he's saying that it's not just enough to get rid of it physically, but you actually have to do more than that. But we also see the famous idea of Sur Mirav Asi Tov. The first thing you have to do is get rid of the evil, the negativity from within you, then you can start thinking of doing positive things. That's what Shmuel says here clearly. He says they have to get Hasiru es Elohei Nechar. First, they have to get rid of this Avodah Zarah, Sur Mira, and then Ve'echinu Levavchem El Hashem. Then you can serve Hashem. Sur Mira V'asitoi. Pasuk Dalet says, V'asiru B'nei Yisrael es Haba'alim V'esu Ashtaros. They did exactly that since Baalim, which is brought down over here, the famous Avodah Zarah. V'yavdu es Hashem levado. So they did exactly as Shmuel said. He told them to do something, and they did it. There was no questions. That was the power that Shmuel had. Pasuk Hey, V'yomer Shmuel, and Shmuel said, Kivsu es Kol Yisrael ha-mitzbasa, that all of the Bnei Yisrael should gather together in mitzbasa, which is also on the map over here. Mitzbasa, which is translated as Mizpah. Where is that? It's somewhere on this map. It's north of Kiryas Yearim on the map, at least. So he says that you should let's gather there. V'yaspal b'adchem el Hashem. And we'll daven to Hashem and respal over there. That's what we'll do. So we'll daven. So before we see Pasuk Vav, you should kedai to know that it's brought down in English in Seder Olam. It says, oh, they underlined it, that Shmuel Hanavi assumed the leadership at the age of 39. And of course, we know that he dies at 52. But so he's 39 years old at this time. Okay, Pasuk Vav. So they all gathered. So they didn't even question him. He said, "Go to the city." They all go there. The Yishavu Mayim. They draw water. Very strange ceremony. They draw water. They start pouring like a Nisach Mayim, like we do on Sukkot. V'yatsumu b'yoyim ha'hu, and they fast on that day. V'yomru shom, and they said over there, Chaton l'Hashem. They said the magic words. We made a mistake. We're not perfect. V'yishvot Shmuel as b'nei Yisrael b'mitzvah. Shmuel started judging them there. Shot. He starts judging. That pasuk seems to be completely out of place. We're going to see Rash and the Radach, what that means.
He became the Shofet.
He became the
Shofet. Until they were kings, they were Shofet.
Right.
So maybe he was the last of the Shoftim.
Could be. It could be.
That's what the indication says.
Yeah. It's just interesting that, you know, they're in the middle of the ceremony. They're doing tshuva. They're saying chatasi. They're doing this water thing. And all of a sudden we need this extra information of that he's a Shofet. Okay, he's a Shofet. Why do you have to tell me now? What's the symbolism of that? So it's something worthwhile seeing. We're gonna explore that.
Why is he punishing them if they did tshuva? What does he want from them?
what do you mean? After, you've already looked in Rashi, correct? Or in the Radah? We'll get to that. It's a good question. So, first of all, we find that they're doing tshuva. They're fasting, and obviously it doesn't just say that they fasted. V'yatsumu yom ahu. The purpose of a tainus is the tuffel, is the fasting, the shuv is the ikar, and therefore the purpose of a tainus is to inspire you to do tshuva. That's what it does. They said over there that they did the chatasi, that they made a mistake. So let's look in Rashi. Rashi discusses the inyan of why this water is being poured. Why are they drawing water and why are they pouring it? So you see on the bottom, going back to page 44, Pasuk Vav. First of all, he quotes the Targum Yonasan and says, "Vishifichu li bihoin v'tuviyasa kamaya kodom Hashem." So what he's saying is the symbolism of pouring water is not just water, but it's a visual aid, just like they're supposed to be pouring out their heart in tefillah to Hashem. That's the reason why they poured water. This is a language of humility. We're considered just like this water is being poured on the ground. We know that the Pasuk says, anyone who's thirsty go to water in my Torah, because Torah is only accepted to a person who is an anav. Moshe is anav mikol adam, that's why he was able to mekabel Torah from Sinai, because he was an anav. And if you take water, the nature of water is you pour it, it will always continue to the lowest surface. It will always continue to go down wherever it can possibly go down to. And that's what water is. That's what Torah is. And that's also the idea of someone who is who sins. You're a Baal Gaiva, that maybe that's what brings you to sin, it brings you to Chet. And therefore, by changing that by looking at the water, which makes you hopefully turn into an anav. You look at yourself, what am I? I'm no better than this humble water that's rolling down. If we look on, before we move on to the Radak, let's continue on the next page, on page 46. The Ishvat Shmuel. So what was Shmuel doing judging over here? They already said Chaton Hashem. Says Rashi in the top page 46, Ben Ish L'Re'ehu. Al iski momoin shibinehem, or al iski averish of. So it doesn't mean that just Sami was being a judge, but he was judging with regard to the averas that they had committed, which means in order for them to have a tshuva shlema, and you didn't aver ben adam l'chavero, it's not enough to say to clap al chet, right? On Yom Kippur, it's only lifnei Hashem titaru, the pasuk says. It's only lifnei Hashem. the veras that you've committed bein adam l'makom, or bein adam l'chavero, that chelik of a sin to Hashem. But you still need to ask mechila. You still need to return whatever you need to return. So if I'm a ganav and I stole, I need to figure out what to return. I need to know the halacha. Do I return this? Who do I return it to? All these different intricate halachas. So the Yishvat Shmuel as Bnei Yisrael b'mitzvah is not just a random statement. It's a package over there. On top of page 46, the reason why he judged is so that they'll be able to have a tshuva shleima. Chatanu l'Hashem is not enough. It was necessary for him also to judge them in order that they should be able to and truly have a tshuva shleima. You see the Radak, the Yishvat Shmuel. What does it mean, Yishvat Shmuel? Shmuel enish kol echad afi. Every person, based on their avonot, based on their iniquities that they had committed, Shmuel judged each person case by case basis. Kisham hisvadu avoneisehem, because there, those people who sinned, they had confessed. Everyone confessed, and therefore, Shmuel in turn had to figure out what would be the correct punishment for each of those individuals. Okay. All right. We're at the Pasuk Zion. Pasuk Zion, V'yishmu plishtim, so everyone did tshuva. V'yishmu plishtim, ki iskapsu b'nei Yisrael ha-mitzpasa. So the plishtim who were ready to fight the B'nai Yisrael, after all, the Aaron had killed numerous people from the plishtim, and they were mad of all the people that died. So they heard that all of Klal Yisrael was in this one central location. V'yalu tzarni plishtim, El Yisrael, so the governors, the powerful people, the Plishtim, gathered to fight Klal Yisrael. The Yishim B'nai Yisrael, the Yirim B'nai Plishtim. As one could imagine, they were afraid. They heard that the Plishtim were coming, and there's a very good chance, just as they lost before, they're going to lose again. Just like many people died before, many people are going to die again. Just like the Aron was taken before, maybe it'll be taken again. The Yomer B'nai Yisrael, El Shmuel. So B'nai Yisrael turned to Shmuel and Navi. And they said, they said, Al tachareish mimenu, do not be silent. Don't be quiet.
Us.
Right. Mizokel Hashem Elokeinu, from crying out to Hashem. Which means we need to daven. You need to daven on our behalf, especially. The Yoshenu miyad plish. And by the tefillahs, then hopefully that'll be enough that we'll be saved by the hands of the plishtim. But Yikach Shmuel, so what did Shmuel do? Did he say Shmuel Esrei, he said Kapitul Tehillim. So he brought a carbon. Very interesting carbon that he brings over here. Vayikach Shmuel Tlei Cholav Echad. So he brings this little lamb, which was Cholav. What's put on Cholav? So the Radak says, Shayoinik Adayim, which means it was still
nursing.
Still nursing. Right, so a little defenseless, helpless animal. V'yaleihu oila klil Hashem, and he completely burns this up as a carbon oila, completely, not leaving a thing behind, which is the same inyan of their tshuva, had to be a tshuva shlema complete. V'yizak Shmuel el Hashem, ba'ad Yisrael, v'yaleihu Hashem. So first he brings a carbon, then he's mispalel, which seems to be the correct order, and then in turn HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to his tefillahs. So the question is, what's this Indian of this particular choice, a tlei chalav echad? Why does it have to be nursing? You know, cruelty to animals. You know, PETA's going to be knocking on his door. So the pshat is that it's defenseless, that it has no ability of functioning without its mother. It can't survive even a moment without its mother. It needs its milk. So therefore, what Shmuel was trying to tap into, possibly, in the Ma'amori says this, is that we're the same way. We're just like this Tlei Cholav Echad. Without you, we are going to be destroyed. We're going to be killed. And therefore, that possibly was what caused Kadosh Baruch Hu to want to listen, because we realize it's not us.
Just the opposite of Vayisis of Triumph.
Which way?
Atan Tachrisham. Hashem Lechem Lechem. Atan Tachrisham. They also wanted to pray, but Moshe said, Hashem said, keep quiet.
In fact, over there, when Moshe is mispalil, the Rashi over there says, or the Pasuk according to Rashi, is that Hashem says, enough. You're davening too long. Right? There's a time to daven, there's a time for action. He davened, though. He did daven, but too much is not good either when you need to do something. But this is the time which he did the right thing. He brought a karm nidav. Pasuk Yud. Vayhi Shmuel Mala Ola. So from the time of Shmuel, while he was bringing up this karm, and plishtim nikshu umelcham Yisrael, they were getting closer and closer. So it's not that they were waiting. Oh, you're bringing a carbon? I will be sensitive to your sacrifices. They were right about to kill them, kill the Jewish people. The Yari Hashem Bekol Gadol BeYamahu Al Plishtim VeYehumim VeNagfu Lifnei Yisrael. So Hashem caused this powerful, loud voice, this loud sound, in the ears of the Plishtim, and it was so powerful that it frightened them. And then it caused the Bnei Yisrael to be able to defeat them. And that's one of the ways of war. Of course, that's the purpose of the shofar, when they blow trumpets, all these different sounds, which gives the perception that there are many people, the way that soldiers in unison march, that their feet are slamming into the ground at the same time, that causes the very earth to shake, gives a person on the other side something to be afraid of. And therefore, it could have been that it was the sound which gave them the fear. Some also are Masber when it came to the Makos, the Mitzrayim, she brought them Mitzrayim, is that the Eser Makos correspond to the ways of war. Adam, well, the first thing you do is you cut off your enemy's blood and your water supply. Sfardeya was supposed to be a tremendously powerful noise which they heard, which would scare your enemy, and it's what we find over here as well. Pasuk Yud. V'yetzu anshei Yisrael min ha-mitzvah. So the Bnei Yisrael who were winning the war came from the place Mitzvah where they were all huddled together. V'yirdefu as plishtim, so they were pursuing after them, chasing after them. And once you're chasing after your enemies, it's much easier to shoot them in the back or wherever it is when they're on the run. V'yakum al mitachas leves kar, and they're able to continue to smite them all the way into this such and such a place. V'yikach Shmuel Eben Achas. So Shmuel took a stone, a rock. V'yosem ben ha-mitzvah ben ha-shem. And he put it between mitzvah and ha-shem, a cliff. V'yikras Shema Eben Ozer. They called this place, this rock, this place, Eben Ozer. V'yomar, and he said, the reason why I'm calling it this is Adhena Azaranu Hashem. This is the place in which Hashem helped us. So therefore, that every time a person walks by and you see that rock, they're going to remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu assisted and helped Klai Yisrael to show our Harkas Tov, our appreciation for what Hashem did for us. And in fact, this is the actual source that when we say Mishana Avraham Avinu Bahar this, right, or Eliyahu Bahar Karma Hu Yanenu. So when we say the sentence, and it's brought down over here in English, Mishnah Shmuel b'mitzvah hu yaneinu. So you fly through that at the end of Slichos, but this is what it's talking about, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped Shmuel in this place, mitzvah. So hu yaneinu, Hashem should also answer us. So that's the source of that sentence in Slichos. Pasuk Yud Gimel. So this humbled the Plishtim. They no longer wanted to attack the Bnei Israel. They never went into their borders. So Hashem's hand was over the Plishtim as long as Shmuel was alive. As long as Shmuel was alive, everything was fine. And it's no coincidence. Obviously, Shmuel was able to keep everyone, all the Klai Yisrael in line, having them act as tzaddikim, doing tshuva, not being over the Avodah Zarah. In turn, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to protect us from our enemies. Pasuk Yud Dalet. V'toshavna ha'arim asher lachu plishtim me'es Yisrael Yisrael. So all the lands in which the plishtim took from the Jewish people were given back to us. Well, these cities. Me'ekron v'adgas v'es gvulon hitzel Yisrael mi'ad plishtim. So these cities were given back, these borders. V'hishalom ben Yisrael ben ho'emori. And there was peace between Israel and the Amori. Obviously, any nation that saw what happened is not going to mess with Klal Yisrael. The Yishmot Shmuel is Yisrael Kol Yimei Chayo. Pasuk Tesvav tells us that Shmuel was the judge Kol Yimei Chayo all the days of his life, which implies Mashma from the day he was born until the day he died, he was a shofet. And we'll see the Radak's question in a second, but first let's see the Mesudas David. Mesudas David says Kol Yimei Chayo Me'es She'amad Lishmot Ad Shemes. Doesn't mean from the time he was born. Maybe from the time that he was appointed as a judge, he remained in that position until he died. And the chiddush is that even though Shaul will eventually, we'll see in a couple prokhim, be a king, he still retained some positions of power. The Radak in the second to last line over here says, Koy mechayav, miyom shachal yo shofet ad shemes. Similar is what Mesudas David said. The Haim Shol Shesri Shana. So this was 13 years. So on this, the Radak asked the Kasha, Medrash Tehillim asked, V'chi Kol Yimei Chayo, this is his whole life, Lo Shoftum El Shol Shesri Shana. It was only for 13 years. Because as we said, this is probably how they know he was 39. We know he died when he's 52. So this is where he's introduced as a judge, and therefore makes him 39, doing simple math. So the question is, what do you mean he was a judge? He was a judge, Kol Yimei Chayav. Ela ben Levi, ad shehu b'mei ayimai, hu kosov bastari shamal. So if you're a ben Levi, you're considered to be an Eved Hashem, and he was considered to be doing the acts of Hashem all the way in utero. And therefore, that's why he's considered to be a v'yishvot Shmuel as Israel, that he was continuously serving Klai Israel, some capacity, either as a judge or as a Levi, immediately from the time, even before the child is born. And we know also his mother Chana, even more unusual, promised that in the event that she would somehow miraculously have a child, that she would dedicate her child for the Avodas Hashem for his entire life. So therefore it makes sense, Kol Yimei Chayav.
As long as Shmuel was alive, we were safe. Yeah.
Right.
In a few weeks, it's going to be Yom Yerushalayim, which is Chag Chasiyah.
Yep.
Happens to be the yard site of Shmuel Ali.
Oh.
So you're going to finish?
Well, you're going to be there.
I'm going to be there.
That's where
the Kiddush is.
So in his schluss, we should only hear good things in Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so let's finish up. So we brought down the beginning of the parak that how he traveled around, and here we see again that he would travel from place to place. And now our map will be a little bit helpful over here. And he said, we'll just finish the pasuk. The Sovav Beis El Hagilgul VaHamitzvah B'Shafet Es Yisrael Es Kol HaMkomos El. So he judged all these places, and the places that he was in. The pasuk says, "Beis El, Gilgal, and Mitzvah," which is kind of like a triangle, if you will. You have Mitzvah, where the war was, Beth El, which is a little bit above it, and then Gilgal to the east or to the right of it. And he was the judge. He was always on the move. He never just stayed in one place. He was continuously helping all of Klai Yisrael. Uteshuvato, Haramato, when he went back to Ramat, which was his home, Kishon Beiso, that was his house. V'sham shavat es Yisrael, v'yivin sham es be'ach Hashem. So whenever he would go back, he would bring various karbanos. But he was continuously traveling.
Where on the map is his home?
Nabi Samuel. Ramata is based by Nabi Samuel.
I know Rabbi.
Where would that be on the map?
It's
just outside of Yerushalayim, north of Yerushalayim. Just past Ramot.
North.
Ramot,
east.
Just past Ramot.
East of
Yerushalayim. People walk it from Ramot.
So just going to conclude. We still have a few minutes. I just want to conclude the parak, but nonetheless, there's a couple important inyanim. The pasuk says, tells us that when he would come back, he shom beso. Chazal tell us the whole makom shaholach beso imo. It doesn't mean that he would necessarily go to this big permanent palace, this permanent structure, but it means that wherever he was, that was his house, right? Home was where he hung his hat, quite literally. So we learn out from here. This is what he says: Kishon Beso, Ki Om Hazeh. I'm reading from Mishpat Zohar I have in front of you. Ki Om Hazeh Eino Ela Diras Arai. Shmuel Nabi is teaching us that no matter where you go in this world, it's all temporary. The Ilu Habayis HaKavua, the set home, Shel Adam Hu Ba'olam HaNitzchi, this is the permanent home. It brings down the famous story of the Chavetz Chaim, which you probably all know. The Chavetz Chaim had a very humble home, and he once had a traveling salesman that went to his house, knocked on his door, right, and he said, "Where's all your stuff?" So the guy said, "What do you mean? Where's all my stuff? Where's all your stuff?" And he goes, "What do you mean, where's all my stuff? I'm a traveling salesman. This is all I have, is this little bag. I go from place to place." And Chavetz Chaim said, I'm also traveling through. The last thing I want to share with you, based on the words of the Gemara, says that he would go Kishon Beiso. The Gemara in Brachos tells us, he says, "Arotz lihanos ihana kelisha, v'shein arotz lihanos al yihana kishmuel haramas." That when it came to Elisha and Shmuel, they had very different traveling plans. Elisha used to go and stay by people's homes, derive benefit from them. But when it came to Shmuel, he never did. And we learn that out from Uchuvaso Haramaso Kishon Beiso. The Gemara learns from that that Shmuel never took anything. He never stayed in anyone's home. He never did anything. And the question is, what's right? Is it correct to follow the Elisha approach or the Shmuel approach? So it depends. Elisha on one hand was obviously just like Shmuel involved in Kiruv. And probably one of the better ways of Kiruv is being able to go to one's home, be able to interact with them. But the problem with Shmuel is Shmuel was also a shofet. And the problem is, if you're a shofet, you can't get too close to people. Because you get too close to people, there's an issue of taking shaychat. People are going to start thinking you're going to show favoritism toward people. And therefore, some people say that even though maybe it would have been more effective for him to go into people's homes, but kishon beiso, he only went to his own place. He did not derive any hanah from anyone else, so that he would not be affected in any way in his judging. We'll stop here.